Screen Directors Playhouse stars Charles Boyer and Jane Wyatt. Production, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Director, Joseph Mankiewicz.
This is the Screen Directors Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by Chesterfield. Always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. And that's the biggest plus in cigarette history. By the makers of Anacin for the fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. Tonight, the Screen Directors Playhouse is pleased to present, transcribed, the story of a very romantic ghost. Our adaptation is The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, and our stars, Charles Boyer and Jane Wyatt. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Mr. Charles Boyer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's Screen Directors Playhouse production, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, poses a very interesting question. Do you believe in ghosts? Of course, tradition says they do exist, and many people claim to have seen one. But whether you believe or not, please bear with the ghost I portray. Captain Daniel Gregg is a rather interesting personality, and I like him.
Thank you, Mr. Boyer. And now here's a word for discriminating smokers.
You see it in the newspapers.
No unpleasant aftertaste.
You hear it on the radio.
No unpleasant aftertaste.
You see it on television.
No unpleasant aftertaste when you smoke Chesterfields.
It's the biggest plus in cigarette history.
Science discovered it. You can prove it.
Science discovered that of all brands tested, Chesterfield, and only Chesterfield, leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
Prove it yourself. Smoke a pack of Chesterfields. They're always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking. And Chesterfield is the cigarette that leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
That's the biggest plus in cigarette history.
No unpleasant aftertaste.
Science discovered it. Prove it yourself. Buy Chesterfields today.
Now the first act of the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, starring Charles Boyer as Captain Daniel Gregg and Jane Wyatt as Mrs. Muir.
Good evening. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the ghost of Captain Gregg. In my lifetime, master of the schooner Marie. Now hunting Gull Cottage, White Cliff by the sea. The ship's bell you heard is my trademark, announcing my arrivals and departures. And you can see me only when I want to be seen, and you can hear me only when I want to be heard. But pull up a chair, and let me read to you from the log of my afterlife. The first entry reads, September 3rd, 1910. A man's home is his castle, and he reserves the right to protect it, whether he's dead or alive. And Gull Cottage, with its weather-beaten shingle, huge bay window set on a low cliff overlooking the beautiful sea, was mine. I built it, and no one was going to invade my domain. The privacy of the home I cherished most in life. Blast it, no one. No one. Come in, you landlubbers. Oh, it's Mr. Coombe and another prospective tenant. You won't be here long.
Mrs. Muir, I assure you Gull Cottage won't suit you.
Let me be the judge, please.
Why won't you listen to reason? There are other cottages.
That portrait on the wall. Who is it?
The former owner, a Captain Gregg.
A sea captain. Oh, I guess that explains the scheme of the decoration in this room, doesn't it?
Which is in frightful taste.
Oh, so you don't like it.
Mrs. Muir, there is absolutely no reason for you to slap me.
I beg your pardon?
Oh.
What's wrong?
Let's leave.
No, I like this room.
Well, now, there is a lady with taste.
Mrs. Muir, I assure you this house won't suit you at all.
I think I shall redo the walls in sea blue with organdy curtains.
Organdy curtains? Billy, that you son of a sea cook.
And that horrible tree outside. What kind of a tree is it, Mr. Coombe?
It's called a monkey puzzle tree.
Why?
Because the bark is so smooth, it defies the efforts of monkeys to climb it.
Oh, how sad for the monkeys. I think we'd better see the rest of the house. Oh, my. Everything's so terribly dusty.
The house has been empty for nearly 4 years.
Oh, this is a lovely kitchen. Perfect. But on that table, food. I thought you said there'd been no one here.
A charwoman was here last week.
Well, she must have left in a frightful hurry.
Well, as heard of, she was on a boat bound for America.
That laugh. Mr. Coombe.
Goodbye, Mrs. Muir. It's the ghost of Captain Gregg.
Oh, wait for me. Wait for me.
Au revoir. And that takes care of that. Entering log, Gull Cottage, White Cliff by the Sea. September 4th, 1910, the following day. SOS, SOS. My ship is sinking fast. I have been invaded. Mrs. Muir has moved into the cottage. She claims she does not believe in ghosts. Imagine. I have researched her background. She's a widow whose life has been dominated by a mother-in-law and sister-in-law, and whose sole income is derived from shares of stock in a gold mine. And the widow black she wears is very unflattering to so pretty a face. Well, I suppose I should be sympathetic, but I can't afford it. Mrs. Muir, a housekeeper, and her child shall be out before morning. I promise.
Martha?
Yes, ma'am?
I've had such a curious dream. Did I close the window before I took a nap?
No. It's shut now, ain't it?
Did you close it?
No, ma'am.
I wonder. Oh, well. Let's look in on Anna and tuck her in the bed.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless Mummy and Martha and poor Captain Gregg in heaven.
Captain Gregg in heaven? I wonder.
You brought water bottles on the kitchen table, and the kettles on the stove are ready boiling.
Thank you, Martha. Good night.
Good night, Mum. And be careful of the lighted candle in your hand.
Oh, my candle's blown out. It must have been the wind.
Wind? Yes, my breath.
I'll light it again. It couldn't have been the wind. The window's closed.
Yes, and I shall blow the light out again.
Oh. Now, what? I'll light it again. There.
It's no use, madam. You cannot win. Ah, you're in the dark again. Well, ready to move out?
I know you're there. I say, I know you're there. Oh, now, what's wrong? Are you afraid to speak up? Is that all you're good for, to frighten women? Well, I'm not afraid of you. Now, speak up. I've never met such a cowardly ghost. Now, the demonstration is over. I'll thank you not to interfere while I boil me some water for my hot water bottle.
Light the candle.
Oh,
go ahead. Light it.
How can I when you keep blowing out the match?
Light it, I say. Go on. The candle. Well, you see? It's lit.
You'll forgive me if I take a moment to get accustomed to you. You're Captain Gregg?
Yes.
I
I'm sorry I called you names, coward and so forth. It must have been very embarrassing to you.
Why?
Why? Well, I mean, because of the way you died.
The way I died, madam?
I mean, because you committed suicide.
I went to sleep in front of that confounded gas heater in my bedroom, and I must have kicked the gas on with my foot in my sleep. It was a stormy night, like this, with a half-gale from the southwest blowing into my windows, so I shut them, as any sensible man would, wouldn't you?
I suppose so.
Well, the coroner's jury brought it in as suicide because my confounded charwoman testified I always slept with my window open. And how the devil should she know how I slept?
Oh, I'm so glad.
Well, you have a strange sense of humor, madam.
Oh, no. I mean because you didn't commit suicide. Oh, but if you didn't, why do you haunt?
Because I have plans for my house, which do not include a pack of strangers barging in and making themselves at home.
I think it's very mean of you, frightening people. Childish, too.
Well, in your case, I'm prepared to admit I charted the course with regret. You're not a bad-looking woman, you know. And, well, women are so foolish. They don't know how to take care of themselves.
You're a fine one to say that. I assure you, I am quite capable of taking care of myself. The house suits me perfectly. And as long as I pay the rent of a legal owner, your cousin...
Legal owner be hanged. I want it turned into a home for retired seamen.
Then you should have said so in your will.
I did not leave a will. I did not expect to kick the blasted gas on with my blasted foot.
I won't be shouted at, you hear? Everyone shouts at me and I'm sick of it. Blast, blast, blast.
Temper, temper.
Oh, or laugh that either. I won't leave this house. You can't make me... I won't.
Oh, here, here, belay that. Don't cry. Oh, stop now. Do you hear me? Anything I can't stand is a woman crying. Oh, stop it, blasted old madam.
Oh, I love this house. I felt I must stay here as soon as I saw it. Oh, you can't understand that, can you?
Well, I'd be some truth in it at that. Felt that way about a ship once. My first command. Found her resting in the Mersey. Very well. You love the house, that counts for you. And you've got spunk, that counts too. Very well, you may stay.
Oh,
on trial.
Thank you.
Now keep your distance, madam.
Oh, I'm sorry. You've made me so happy. And you'll go right away and leave us alone.
No, I will not go right away. Why should I?
Because of Anna, my little girl. I don't want her frightened into fits.
I never frighten little girls into fits.
But think of the bad language she learned. And the morals.
Confound it, madam. My language is most controlled. As for my morals, I've lived a man's life, and I'm not ashamed of it. But I can assure you that no woman has ever been the worse for knowing me. And I'd like to know how many blue noses can say the same.
She's much too young to see ghosts.
All right, I'll make a bargain with you. Leave my bedroom as it is, and I'll promise never to go into any other room in the house.
But, Well, if you keep the best bedroom, where should I sleep?
In the best bedroom.
But,
Oh, in heaven's name, why not? Bless my soul, madam, I'm not a man. I'm a spirit. I have no body. Is that clear?
But I can see you.
All you see is an illusion, like a blasted lantern slide.
Well, it's not very convincing, but, Well, I suppose it's all right.
Well, then it's settled. I'm probably making a mistake, but I always was a fool for a helpless woman.
I'm not helpless.
Well, if you're so confoundedly competent, you'll notice that your kettle is about to boil over.
Oh, so it is.
Oh, one more thing. I want my painting hung in the bedroom. You know, the one that's in the living room.
Must I? So it's a very poor painting.
Well, it's my painting, and I did not invite your criticism. I make it part of the bargain.
Oh, well, I mean, it doesn't do you justice, and... Well, what do you know? He's gone. Oh, dear. I never realized. I was standing here all the time in my nightdress. Oh, that's hardly the way to receive a gentleman, but... Oh, well, a ghost. Well...
My dear, never let anyone tell you to be ashamed of your figure.
Oh!
Thank you.
Every day you hear more and more about an incredibly fast way to relieve the pains of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. It's Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. Now, the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentists or physicians, and in this way discovered the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin. A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin in handy boxes of 12 and 30. Economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100. Ask for Anacin at any drug counter. Now, here's the second act of the Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, starring Charles Boyer and Jane Wyatt.
Entry log, October 15th, 1910. Well, it is a little over a month now since Gulf Cottage, my castle, has been occupied, and I must admit that it has worked out far better than I had expected. Being a ghost, while not the most desirable of existences, has its advantages, especially when so charming a lady as Mrs. Muir proves to be most cooperative. Indeed, I find her efforts most seaworthy. Already she has taken on the bloom of the seaside. And she looks almost like a girl without her widow black. But in the garden, what has she done? I must see her at once. Blast her!
Oh, good afternoon.
What have you done with my monkey puzzle tree?
I expect it's chopped up for firewood by now.
But hang it all, madame. I planted that tree with my own two hands.
Why?
Well, because I wanted a monkey puzzle tree in my garden.
Oh, think how much prettier a bed of roses will look there.
Roses. I hate roses. I hope the whole blasted bed dies of the blight.
Oh, Captain Gregg, if you insist on haunting me, you might at least be agreeable about it.
Why should I be agreeable?
Well, as long as we're living... if we're going to be thrown together so much, life's too short to be forever barking at each other.
Well, your life may be short, madam, but I have unlimited time at my disposal.
There you go, arguing again. Try to say something pleasant for a change.
Hmm? Well, that's a pretty dress you have on.
Thank you, sir.
Much better than ugly black crepe.
I happen to be wearing mourning for my husband.
Whom you didn't love.
Oh, how dare you say that?
Because it's true. You were fond of him, perhaps, but you didn't love him.
I suppose you're jealous because no one put on mourning for you.
That shows how little you know about me.
Some poor misguided female, I suppose.
Three poor misguided females, to be exact.
Oh, I should think you'd be ashamed of it. Instead of boasting about it.
Why? They misguided themselves. I never raised a finger to help them.
That's not what I've heard about sailors.
Seaman, confound it. Sailor is a lover's word. Now tell me, why did you marry him?
I don't really know. He was an architect. He came down to plan an addition to my father's library. I was only 17. I remember I just finished a novel in which the heroine was kissed in the rose garden and lived happily ever after. So when Edwin kissed me in the orchard...
Yes. It was different once you'd left the orchard, eh?
Yes.
He didn't beat you, did he?
Oh, no. Poor Edwin. He never did anything. I'm afraid he wasn't even a very good architect. He couldn't have designed a house like this. Who did?
I did.
It reminds me of something. An old song, a poem.
Magic casements, opening on the foam of perilous seas, in fairylands forlorn.
That's Keats, isn't it?
The Nightingale.
Oh, it's strange to find a sea captain quoting Keats.
Why? Life is slow at sea. I had plenty of time for reading during the off watches.
How romantic. Reading lyric poetry. Up in the crow's nest with the sheets bellying in the wind.
Sails, blasted old madam. A sheet is a line, a rope. Ropes can't belly.
I don't know anything about the sea. except that it's romantic.
That's what all landsmen think. Seamen know better.
Then why do they go to sea?
Because they haven't got sense enough to steer shore. Haven't helped the ordinary seaman.
Were you ever one?
For several years, while I learned my trade.
It's hard to imagine you being an ordinary anything.
Hey, you've got callers.
Oh, dear.
Who is it?
My bastard mother-in-law and sister-in-law. Oh, quick, hide, or go away, or decompose, or whatever it is you do.
Oh, you mean dematerialize?
Yes, quickly.
Oh, no fear. They can't see me or hear me unless I choose that they should.
Then please don't choose. I'll get rid of them.
Why don't you let me? I've had plenty of practice.
No, you leave them alone.
Well, say the word and I'll kill all of them.
No, you're not to do anything.
Well, Lucy... Talking to herself.
Oh, my poor Lucy, you look so pale.
And what a hideous painting. Why on earth don't you take it down?
Because I like it, Eva. I'm very fond of it. Really, I am.
Liar.
Poor Lucy, we have such bad news for you.
What news is this?
The gold mine, Lucy, it's petered out. Or whatever gold mines do. They've stopped paying dividends. It was in the Times this morning.
Oh.
Fast now. Don't make a scene in front of these swabs.
I don't intend to make a scene.
Of course you don't. Oh, you're a brave little girl, my little Lucy.
Please.
It should be perfectly obvious that with your income gone, there's only one course for you to follow, and that's to come home now with us.
Send them to Charlotte. We'll think of something.
Eva, Mother, I'm sorry. It's very kind if you want me to come back, but I'm going to stay. I'll manage somehow. So please be good enough to... Shove off.
Well, you're obviously insane, talking to yourself and everything, and I, for one, want nothing more to do with you. Come, Mother.
Yes, come, Mother, while I kick you in the shins.
Here, I'll help you out, Mrs. Muir.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Groom.
I'm so glad that you found the house suitable after all. Silly to think that such a thing as ghosts could exist in the 20th century.
Indeed. How could they?
Still, it is lonely. You should have a man to protect you. The right man.
Oh, Mr. Groom, your car! It started running by itself.
Mercy, how'd that happen? Wait!
It didn't crick it!
Well, another one of your tricks, Captain.
You liked it?
I only hope when I reach the afterlife, I have more dignity than you.
Dignity? Do you call it dignified to throw yourself at a herring-gutted swab like that?
I asked Mr. Coombe here because he's a logical man to help me find lodgers for the summer.
So, lodgers? Oh, forgive me, my dear. I've been seriously misled. I thought you wanted to sign him on for a husband. No, there is no harm done. I will not allow you to take in lodgers. They're worse than passengers at sea.
It's them or starve.
No, not at all, my dear. You're going to write a book.
A book? But I can't.
No, but I can. And you shall put it down on paper for me. It will be the story of my life. We'll call it, We'll call it Blood and Swash by Captain X.
But it takes months to write a book. What are we to live on in the meantime?
Well, you've got jewelry, bonnet.
I couldn't.
Oh, blast your eyes, madam. Will you try to understand that you can't afford to be squeamish?
I do understand, and don't swear at me.
Start with that ugly brooch. You don't like it anyway.
Really, Captain Gregg, my mother-in-law gave it to me, and I'm really very fond of her.
Very well. If you're so fond of her, you can go back and live with her.
I think I can get about £10 for it.
I'm glad you're going to be sensible. Well, now, since we're going to be collaborators, you may call me Daniel.
That's very good of you.
And I shall call you Lucia.
My name is Lucy.
Doesn't do you justice, my dear. Women named Lucy are always being imposed upon. But Lucia, there is a name for an Amazon, for a queen.
I don't feel much like a queen. I feel frightened and wondering what the future will bring.
Don't you trust me?
Oh, yes, I do, Daniel, when I'm talking to you. But when you're not here, Well, it's asking a great deal to expect anyone to trust her whole future to a... to someone who isn't real.
But I am real. I'm here because you believe I'm here. I exist in your mind, and in the mind of the God who made us all.
Yes, Daniel.
Keep on believing, and I'll always be real to you. As long as you have need of me, I'll be here.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Perry Como for RCA Victor.
Cara, 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 bella, 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 baby. How can I express my happiness? Cara, 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 bella, 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 baby.
It's available now at record dealers everywhere. Perry Como's sensational new RCA Victor release, Cara Cara Bella Bella. You'll want to own it, to hear it again and again, and listen to the smooth baritone voice of Perry Como as he sings the soft Italian lyrics of Cara Cara Bella Bella. It's a hit, and so is the flip side. Surprising. One record, two terrific new numbers back to back, sung by Perry Como, recorded by RCA Victor. You are listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival. Brought to you by Chesterfield. Always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking. Plus, no unpleasant aftertaste. And that's the biggest plus in cigarette history. By the makers of Anacin for the fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, and by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. The Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, starring Charles Boyer and Jane Wyatt, will continue in just a moment after a brief pause for station identification. This is the Screen Directors Playhouse. We continue transcribed with the third act of The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, starring Charles Boyer and Jane Wyatt.
Entry log, December 1st, 1910. Captain Daniel Gregg, Gull Cottage, Whitecliff by the Sea. For 3 months now, I've been Lucia's steady companion, dictating my life story, guaranteed to be salty enough to keep old maids and young maids burning the midnight oil. Well, I can truthfully say I wish we were starting the book instead of finishing it. It's like sipping the last drop out of a bottle of rare vintage wine. This cannot be replaced. Well, Lucia, why have you stopped typing? You haven't finished a sentence.
I know. It's that last word. I've never written such a word.
Well, it's a perfectly good word.
I think it's a horrid word.
Well, it means what it says, doesn't it?
All too clearly.
Well, what word do you use when you want to convey that meaning?
I don't use any.
Oh, blasted Lucia, if you're going to be prudish, we'll never get this book written. Now, put it down the way I give it to you.
I'll do it, but I won't look.
Good. At this point, Having had a good drink, I went upstairs.
Why?
Why what?
Why did you go upstairs?
But because I saw no harm in it.
Oh, you must have been very young and foolish.
I was young, but I was never foolish. Inexperienced, perhaps, curious, as young men are, eager for adventure, but at the same time, level-headed. I matured early.
I wish I'd known you then.
I was an orphan. I was brought up by a maiden aunt in a country village. Now, for heaven's sake, let's get on with it. Where was I?
Upstairs.
Oh, yes. The customs of Marseille are different to any...
Different from?
Or to or from, who cares? This is not a blossom literary epic. It is the unvarnished story of a seaman's life.
It's certainly unvarnished.
Well, all right. Smear on your own varnish. Change the grammar all you please, but leave the guts in it.
I believe it would have been nice if we'd included a chapter about your early life, your school days.
Never went to school. I was educated by the vicar.
Oh, poor man. He must have had a dreadful time.
Oh, he enjoyed every minute of it. Except when I put a snake in his bed.
Oh, what did he say?
What would you expect the vicar to say when he finds a snake in his bed?
You must have been a horrid little boy. Daniel, what did your aunt do when you ran away to sea?
Probably, thank heaven, there was no one around to fill the house with mongrel puppies or tracked mud on her carpets.
Did she write to you?
Every Sunday for 7 years. I was at sea when she died, the year I got my mate's ticket. What are you thinking about, Lucia?
I'm thinking how lonely she must have felt with her clean carpets.
And what else are you thinking?
About Coombe, the renting agent. He's threatening to put us out unless the rent is paid.
Oh, it's unimportant. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm so tired, Daniel. I can't see straight or think straight.
Now, just these last few pages, and then tomorrow you take it to the publishers.
I hope they like it. They must like it.
Oh, they will.
It's strange. I didn't think so at first, but somehow... It's a very wise book.
It has elements of wisdom in it, my dear. Oh, I did not lead a very wise life myself, but it was a full one and a grown-up one. You know, you come of age very quickly through shipwreck and disaster.
I never understood the sea before, or the men who go to sea. Why did you write the book, Daniel? It wasn't really to save the house for me.
Partly that. For you and the retired seaman you will leave it to in your will. Very brave men who always risk their lives for people who never appreciate them. Ship out there. Too close by the sound.
The loneliest sound. Like a child lost and crying in the dark.
Yes, he's lost right enough. With the captain cursing a blue streak. And wondering why he went to sea instead of opening a grocery shop like a sensible man. Treacherous. Fog in the channel. I'd rather face a nor'easter.
Still, it's honest to see. It makes you face things honestly, doesn't it?
There's something in your mind.
Yes. What's to become of us, Daniel? You and me?
Nothing can become of me. Everything's happened that can happen.
But not to me.
What do you mean, Lucia?
When we were writing the book, I was happy. We were accomplishing something together. But now, when I try to think about the future, it's all dark and confused. Like trying to see into the fog.
Yes. Yes, you've been working too hard and cooped up too long in this house. You need a change of scene.
But I love it here.
Well, you ought to be out in the world more, meeting people, seeing men.
I have no desire to see men.
But you should, Lucia. You are a very attractive woman. Oh, hadn't you noticed? Really, my dear, you owe it to yourself.
Yes, Daniel. Good night.
Good night, my dear.
Oh, Daniel. I'm afraid we've gotten ourselves in an awful fix.
beg your pardon, Mrs. Muir.
How did you know my name, sir?
I was in Mr. Sproul's anteroom when you left. The publisher, you know. If you'll forgive me, my name is Miles Fairley.
Good day, sir.
It's raining, and I've got an umbrella. And your hat, if I may say so, is singularly inadequate under the circumstances.
I didn't bargain for the blast of rain. That is, I'm afraid I shall miss the last train for home.
There's a cab now. Cab! Where to, Mrs. Muir?
Victoria Station. Thank you so much.
Victoria? What a coincidence. That's exactly where I'm going. We'll go together. I know you won't mind sharing my cab with me, will you?
Not at all.
The word you're looking for is brass.
Brass?
To describe my behavior and me, I'm sure you don't approve of either.
Not very much. Do you write?
Yes, I write a little. Children's books.
Children's books? You? Oh, I should like to see one.
I'm afraid you have. You see, I write under the name of Uncle Neddy.
Uncle Neddy? You're Uncle Neddy?
ridiculous, isn't it?
Why, you're adored by half the children in the world.
Yes, but deep in my innermost heart, I loathe the little monsters.
My daughter. My daughter is not a little monster. And she'll be very excited to know I've been talking with our favorite author.
I'll make an exception of your daughter and look forward to meeting her. There's an empty compartment. Goodbye, Mrs. Muir.
Goodbye, Mr. Fairley, and thanks again.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Daniel. Oh, have you been eavesdropping?
Brass, he says. I polished his brass for him. And the way he was smirking at you. Like a cat. A fishmonger's. You should have slapped his face.
Why? I found him rather charming.
Rather charming. Now you're beginning to talk like him.
Well, how in blazes do you want me to talk?
That's better.
I think you're being extremely childish.
I'm only trying to protect you from your own worst instincts.
I'll manage my own instincts, thank you.
Now, what made you lie to that idiot of a man?
I didn't lie to him.
You did? You know very well your daughter hates Uncle Neddy and reads nothing but dead-eyed Dick.
Well, I had to say something.
Well, you should have pushed him out of the cab. In another minute, I would have.
Daniel, I believe you're jealous.
So, of course I'm not jealous. You take me for a blasted schoolboy? And besides, jealousy is a disease of the flesh.
Well, I've never known you to be so disagreeable. Now, you stop sulking, or I'll leave the house to the Society for Decayed Gentlewomen.
Oh, after your performance today, I believe you're capable of it.
Daniel, you yourself said I should mix with people, that I should see men.
I said man. Not perfumed parlor snakes.
He's a man and a very nice one. Oh, and anyway, I'll never see him again.
Oh, yes, you will. You're like all the rest of women. A fool for any man who promise you the moon and end up by taking everything you have to give.
Hello, Mrs. Muir.
You're quite a sleuth, aren't you, Mr. Fairley? I should think being Uncle Neddy would satisfy anyone.
No, I also paint under the name of Renoir.
You're such a fool.
That's the first nice thing you've ever said to me.
And what, if anything, do you do as Miles Fairley?
Make a fool of myself, generally. Specifically, I believe, most idiotically, about a lady I fell in love with the moment I laid eyes on her. I'm in love with you, Lucy. And I want you to love me, too. I think you will. I'm not going away, even if you send me. I'll see you again and again, even if you forbid it. Happy, dear?
I
never felt like this before, Miles.
How?
I don't know.
Tell me.
Like falling down from high up, all dizzy, I'm sure.
You won't fall, my darling. I'll hold you.
It isn't right. It can't be to feel like this, like... Oh, I don't know. Oh, darling. Good afternoon, Daniel.
So you kissed that scoundrel, Lucia?
You've been spying on me?
Oh, I merely happened to be cruising in the vicinity.
I don't believe you.
Did you enjoy it?
It's none of your business.
Oh, so you did.
It's none of your business.
Why did you let him?
I didn't. He took me unaware.
Oh, look, my dear. Since Eve picked the apple, no woman has ever been taken entirely unawares.
What do you mean to insinuate by that?
When a woman is kissed, it's because deep down she wants to be kissed.
That is nothing but masculine conceit.
Nevertheless, it's true. Now, what happens?
Oh, you stay, you go away. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
I think it matters to you more than you'll admit. Isn't that so, Lucia?
Why bother to ask me, Daniel? You seem to know my mind better than I do. You don't like him, do you?
And I won't like him.
Simply because she doesn't like his books.
Good enough reason to dislike anyone.
Anna's a child with childish likes and dislikes.
He puts brilliantine on his hair.
Most men do.
And he uses perfume. Last year drove me off the beach.
You shouldn't have been on the beach in the first place.
So you can find an excuse for everything.
Only because you're attacking him, Daniel.
Perfectly natural human reaction.
I do wish you wouldn't be so superior just because you're not alive.
Oh, and he is. Very much so.
It's no crime to be alive.
No, my dear, it isn't. But sometimes it's a great inconvenience. Only the living can be hurt.
I don't intend to be hurt.
No captain intends to pile his ship on a reef. But it happens. Be careful, Lucia.
You yourself said I should go about in the world. That means taking risks?
I know, my dear. Real happiness is worth almost any risk. But there may be breakers ahead. Be careful.
Daniel, I've never lied to you. I rather think Miles is going to propose to me. Ask me to marry him.
Oh? And you'd be willing to?
I might. Why shouldn't I?
He isn't good enough for you, that's why not.
Oh, I know he isn't perfect. Perhaps he's conceited and erratic, even childish. But I need someone, Daniel. I'm not as strong as I thought. I need companionship and laughter and all the things a woman needs. I suppose I need love.
Well, then, I hope he can give it to you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Entering log. January 10th, 1911. Captain Daniel Gregg. The curtains in the master bedroom are flowing gently in the faint breeze. The sky is beginning to lighten for dawn. In her bed, Lucia is asleep, breathing gently. So you've made your choice, Lucia. The only choice you could make. You've chosen life. With all its sorrows, hurts, and heartbreaks. And that's as it should be, whatever the reckoning. And that's why I'm going away, my dear. There's no longer a place for me in your life, and there can never be again. I can't help you now. I can only confuse you more. and destroy whatever chance you have left for happiness. Now listen, my dear. You've been dreaming. Yes, dreaming of a sea captain who haunted his house, of talks you had with him, even a book you wrote together. But you wrote the book, you and no one else. A book about a man you imagined from his house, his picture on the wall, his gear lying about in every room. It's been a dream, Lucia. And when morning comes, you will only remember it as a dream. And it will die, as all dreams must die, at waking. Ah, my dear, how you would have loved the North Cape and the fjords in the midnight sun, to sail across the reef at Barbados, where the blue water turns to green, to the Falklands, where a southern lake gale whips the whole sea white. Ah, what we've missed, Lucia. What we've both missed. Goodbye, my darling.
In 1 week, NBC and its affiliated stations broadcast thousands of different programs. News, music, drama, comedy. A world of varied entertainment and information. Who pays for it? The advertisers, naturally, you say. But does the consumer pay for it in the long run? No. And that is one of the miracles of radio. Radio reaches people much more economically than door-to-door selling or penny postcards or newspapers or magazines. Reaches and sells people vastly more economically than if there were no advertising at all. Only quality products are advertised on NBC, and radio helps bring them to you at the lowest possible cost. And now, back to our story.
Going, Mum?
You'll see in a moment, Martha. By the way, I've been thinking we might put the picture of Captain Gregg up in the attic.
Don't you like it anymore?
Well, it was a silly idea to hang it in my bedroom. I don't know what possessed me. Atmosphere, I suppose. I fell in love with a ghost. A very wonderful ghost. Dreams are silly. So very silly.
I don't know, Mum.
Oh, well. Oh, driver, stop over here. Martha, wait out here for me.
Where are you going, Mum?
To surprise Miles. Visit his bachelor quarters for the first time. Won't he be shocked?
Yes?
I'd like to see Mr. Fairley, please.
Won't you come in? What is your name?
Mrs. Muir. Oh, but please don't tell him. I want to surprise him.
Oh, my husband is out. Perhaps I can help you.
Husband?
He'll be home soon. He's taken the children to the park.
The children?
You are a friend of his.
I'm afraid I've made a mistake.
A mistake, Mrs. Muir?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I think I understand, my dear. And I'm sorry, too. Truly, I am. It isn't the first time that something like this has happened.
Entrain, love. The year. There are no years in eternity. Still, from my vantage point of forevermore, I can watch Lucia. And though I am no longer mortal, I can feel mortal pain because she has run adrift in earthly time. I've seen her disappointments, her loneliness, and oh, so many times I've wanted to comfort her as she reached out her hands to capture a lost dream. But it has been joy, too. Anna, her daughter, now 22, and as beautiful as her mother, and engaged to be married.
Wait till you hear, Mommy. I've discussed it with Bill, and you're to come and live with us. Oh. You and Martha.
No, darling.
Oh, but you must. You've been alone so much of your life.
Oh, you're very kind, but, well, it's hard to explain. Solitude isn't a matter of company. It's a matter of the spirit. Besides, I love this house, and I've been very happy here, and I shall live here till I die.
With Captain Gray?
Well, what did you say?
With the ghost of Captain Gray.
Anna, what are you talking about?
Oh, I knew the captain very well. I was a little girl the first year we lived here. We used to have the most wonderful talks.
You didn't.
Don't tell me you saw him, too.
Oh, no, no, no. Not for years.
Then you did. Mommy, you don't suppose he really haunted us?
Oh, no, darling. Things like that can't happen. It was only a dream. I can't remember very well. Just bits and pieces. A phrase here and there. A look. And I think I dreamed most of my book, Blood and Squash. I must have. I couldn't have thought of it. All these years I've tried to remember, and I can't.
Do you know what I think? I think you fell in love with him, too.
Oh, I did nothing of the sort.
Oh, I wouldn't blame you if you had. Mommy, perhaps he really did exist, the captain. Perhaps he did come back and talk to us.
No, darling, he never existed. We just made him up, you and I. I just wasn't intended to have that kind of happiness. And I haven't missed it. Really, really, I haven't. Oh, I've been lonely at times, but there have been compensations. This house, the sea, and the girls. And memories. I have those, you know. Even if it was a dream.
Entering log, the time, infinitesimal, where my soul lives. But on earth, the seasons have changed many, many times. The blossoms on the branches have withered and blossomed again and again. The snows have fallen to the brown earth. Cruel winds have changed into soft summer breezes, time and time again. Standing here on the vast ship, Eternity, I have watched Lucia grow old. She has weathered her storms gracefully. I've been proud of her, as a captain is of his lady. Oh, Lucia, soon, soon.
What are you doing out there on the captain's walk? Want to catch your death of cold?
I don't know why I went out there.
You don't? You know what the doctor says. Remember, you're not a young one anymore.
Oh, bother the doctor.
Drink your hot milk now.
Not now, Martha. I'm too tired. I have a funny pain in my arm.
Now, you drink it up like I tell you.
Oh, Martha, stop bossing me. I don't want any hot milk. I hate hot milk. I just want to be left alone. Bossing me. Everyone bossing me.
Very well, Mum. So bossing I never intended. Only brought them up for your own good.
Call her back.
Bossing me.
Call her back. Weren't you taught as a child never to let the sun go down on your wrath? Call her, I say.
Martha?
Yes, Mom.
I'm sorry I was cross.
They're lovely. It doesn't matter. We all get cross sometimes.
Good night, dear Martha. You're such a good friend.
Good night. Drink your nice soft milk now, and you'll be right as right.
I am tired. So very tired.
And now you'll never be tired again. Come, Lucia. Come, my dear.
Daniel. Oh, Daniel.
I've missed you so, Lucia.
The little old lady in the chair. Who is she?
Look again, Lucia.
That isn't me.
It was you. But the real you is here with me, as it was meant to be. Come, my dear.
Thank you, Charles Boyer and Jane Wyatt, for a charming performance. Our stars will return in just a moment. You know, the human voice is a marvelous instrument. Words on paper, cold words, have only as much color, as much power, as the individual reader gets out of them. But take these same words and have them spoken. Put them in the mouth of a Winston Churchill, and they come rumbling and roaring to life. Yes, whether you're selling ideas or products, people sell better than paper. Advertisers realize this. It's why they pay the price of 30 minutes on a radio network for the privilege of speaking to you for a total of only 3 minutes about their products. And because the advertiser benefits through the privilege of speaking to you in your own home, you benefit by the hundreds of hours of top-flight entertainment each week on radio. Next week, the Screen Directors Playhouse presents another great performance. Our adaptation will be The Velvet Touch. And our star is Rosalind Russell. The following week, we will present Mother Was a Freshman, starring Loretta Young and William Lundigan. And now here again are tonight's stars, Charles Boyer and Jane Wyatt.
Thank you. Charles, would you do the honors, please?
Gladly, Jane. An excellent definition of a genius is one who does easily and well what others cannot do at all. In this category, by public acclaim, we must place Joseph Mankiewicz, the gentleman who directed The Ghost and Mrs. Muir.
How right you are, Charles. Not only is he a great director, but he's equally as fine a writer and producer. And for these outstanding achievements, he's been awarded the highest honors the motion picture industry can bestow. 5 Academy Awards.
Although Mr. Mankiewicz cannot be with us tonight, I should like to ask that all of you join Jane and myself in applauding him. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Charles, just a minute. There's something I'd like to say. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we girls could look forward to romantic ghosts just like Charles Boyer?
No. Not yet. Thank you, Jane. If you don't mind, I prefer being just live, Charles Boyer, and enjoying this beautiful and wonderful country. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, directed by Joseph Mankiewicz, was presented through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of the Darrell F. Zanuck Technicolor production, David and Bathsheba, starring Gregory Peck and Susan Hayward. Now currently releasing Mr. Belvedere Rings the Bell, starring Clifton Webb. Included in tonight's cast were Ruth Parrott, Sarah Selby, Alma Lawton, Norma Jean Nilsson, Barbara Eiler, Alec Harford, and Don Morrison. The Ghost and Mrs. Muir was adapted for radio by Jack Rubin. Screen Director's Playhouse is under the production supervision of Howard Wiley and was directed by Bill Carn. Portions of tonight's broadcast were transcribed. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen again next week when the Screen Director's Playhouse presents The Velvet Touch, starring Rosalind Russell. Monday through Friday, hear The Woman in My House on NBC.